Hello everyone, and welcome to the Rennick Centre podcast. Today, in this episode, we speak to a Dr. Penny Rosenblum, who talks about the importance of visual graphics for students who are blind or vision impaired, and provides strategies for teachers to try. We hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to the next Rennick Centre podcast. It's still my pleasure to have Dr. Penny Rosenblum with us today. Penny, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Sure. I'm over here in the States, and actually Tucson, Arizona, where I'm a research professor at the University of Arizona. I did have an opportunity to come to Australia in 2014 and visit several cities and get to give some professional talks. So I hope if some of you I met before are listening, hello. So in my role here at the University of Arizona, I run a U.S. national research project funded by our Department of Education. And the focus of our project is around students in grades 6th and 7th math-wise. Some of our students are younger and some of our students are older chronologically, but they're at that pre-algebra level. And our project specifically helps students build their graphics literacy skills, and at the same time we're working to empower teachers of visually impaired students to have a better knowledge of the skills that the children they work with need to learn.
Sure. So you talked about graphics literacy, Penny. What does that term graphic literacy actually mean specifically?
Sure. Let's think for a minute. I live in the United States and you folks live in Australia. And let's say we wanted to compare salaries of teachers of visually impaired students in the two countries. So we may take data over some time and develop a line graph. One line showing salaries in the United States over a 20-year period, and one line showing the salaries for teachers in Australia over a 20-year period. So you can envision this in your head. Down at the bottom on the x-axis, we have the years, maybe in five-year increments. And along the y-axis, we have the dollar amounts. And we would have to decide whose dollar we're using. And so you very quickly, with the key, would know that the red line is Australia and the blue line represents the United States. You would be able to see the trend in salaries, which country's going up, which country's going down. Is there a point where those two countries' salaries intersect? So by having graphics literacy skills, a student is able to get the gestalt of that line graph and then is able to locate the specific information they need. Where's the title? Where's the key? What do each of those red and blue lines stand for? How do I locate the information on the x-axis if the question asks me about years? How do I find the dollar per year salary average if the question's asking me for an amount? So when a student has graphics literacy skills, they can approach a bar graph, a line graph, a map, a Venn diagram, whatever type of graphical representation they're using in their maths class or their science class or their social studies class to get the information they need to then participate in the curriculum to answer the questions that they need to do or do the interpretation. And then this will carry over into the real world where, you know, we all use graphics to make decisions about things we do within our work and within our personal lives.
Okay, so you made some mention there, but why is it important specifically for students to have well-developed graphics literacy skills?
Well, if we think about the STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, much of the information that I need to convey as a researcher, as a teacher, as an engineer, I'm going to convey that in graphical form. So we've all been to presentations where somebody's pulling up their PowerPoint and they have pie charts to show data, or they have bar charts to show data, or I go to the library and I want to research, you know, what make of car I want to buy. And so there's a document that I get that shows me the crash rates and how many people die in these types of cars. So no matter what field I go into, I'm going to be expected to interact with material presented graphically, and I may be expected to produce that type of data and then interpret it for the people I work with or the consumers that I'm connecting with.
Sure. So you really are thinking sort of, you know, the early planning for long-term career work at school and giving them the skills at school for that long-term career goals that they might have.
In the United States, we have research that shows if a child is not successful in Algebra 1, which typically in the States is grade 8, grade 9, then that child is going to be much less likely to pursue a STEM major in college or a STEM career, even if they choose a non-college track. So we want to position students to have those skills to be successful in that Algebra 1 curriculum, so that their focus isn't on, I don't know how to approach this bar graph, so how am I supposed to even begin to answer this question? Or what's a slope of a line and how do I interpret this line graph when they're learning how to use coordinate planes to graph data? We want to make sure that the student has the skills around using the graphics and interpreting the graphics so that they can then put their focus, their cognitive load on learning the curriculum and the concepts behind it.
Sure. So tell me the research that you're doing to support students with visual impairments to build their graphic literacy skills.
So as part of the study, we first start out with a pretest where I meet with the teacher and the student using Zoom, which is web conferencing like FaceTime. And I present the student six different pages. Each page has a different representation on it, and I ask a series of questions. So there's a line graph, there's a bar graph, there's a Venn diagram, there's a coordinate plane, there's a box and whisker plot, and there is a map. And I do this pretest with the students. Then we send the teacher and the students directions for downloading a free iPad app that has information about endangered and invasive species on which the lessons are built. So for example, as I mentioned, I came to Australia in 2014 and I fell in love with the Tasmanian devil. So our bar graph unit is about the Tasmanian devil. And we went ahead and we went with Australian and then also some African animals. So to represent your country, we have the cane toad and the dinosaur ant. along with us, and the platypus, which is a big hit. And so the students do the pretest with me, then they do 10 instructional units where they learn about the type of graph and at the same time are learning environmentally relevant scientific information about an animal species. And then I meet with the student again and I do a post-test of different questions and different graphics, but same concepts. And what we're looking at specifically is, has the student increased their efficiency and accuracy in gathering information from the type of graphic that I'm having them look at? So they're answering questions, for example, on the bar graph, we have, it's a double bar graph. So one bar shows how many snacks, in the form of cookies were sold and how many snacks in the form of fruit snacks were sold. And there's four students selling these snacks. So one of the bar graph questions asks, how many cookies did Mike sell? So the student has to find Mike on the x-axis. They have to go up. First they have to know which bar is the cookies, then they have to go up, and then they have to go over to the left, to the y-axis to get the number 10. Another question asks, what's the difference between the number of cookies and fruit snacks that Andrea sold? So they have to find the height of both bars, and then they have to do a very simple subtraction problem. And we made the problems very simple because we didn't want the students' math skills to confound our data.
Sure.
And way too much for you, but sorry. You
can that's a really clear explanation, and I appreciate that. And you're finding that this is making a difference for students?
So Trudy, we are in our post-test stage right now, and I've so we have about 35 students who have completed the pretest and the 10 instructional units are now are meeting with me with one-on-one to do the post-test. And following the post-test, I do a short interview with the student and I do a short interview with the teacher. And overwhelmingly, both the students and the teachers are reporting that using the app with these 10 instructional units that embed teaching skills around graphics literacy is making a difference. For example, in the United States, most states have a formal testing that children go through typically at the end of the school year. And teachers and students have reported that the student did better on the questions that involve graphics, approached those questions more systematically, were more confident. teachers and students are reporting that when the student was, let's say, in the math class and the class was starting the unit on box and whisker plots, most of the kids were going, I don't get this. This is kind of weird. What's this about? The student was very confidently, you know, showing people how a box and whisker plot worked. And so for our students with visual impairments, who are often the ones being helped, some of our kids have gotten to be in the helper seat.
That's
because
lovely.
They have this knowledge. And the other thing that the teachers have talked about is the carryover. So for example, one student in her English class, language arts English class, they had to do an activity where they had to answer questions. If they got a question wrong, they could still get credit for that question if they could explain what the right answer was. And this student, who a couple months ago could not have done this, because of her experience having to really break down and explain things around graphics in our project, was able to transfer that type of knowledge to the English language curriculum.
Do you have a timeline for when we might be able to access it or be part of it in Australia?
Thanks for asking that question. We have people in the United States and Canada asking it too. So the Institute of Education Sciences, which funds the project, asks us to have a dissemination plan. How are we going to get our findings out? They're a little less clear on how we're going to get the materials out. And so by the time you have the findings, you're out of grant funding. So we're working on options to disseminate the materials. So I'm working with the publisher of the graphs and maps, which is the Lighthouse in San Francisco, to see about the possibility of them having those for sale. And I'm working with several entities in the United States to explore how we can make the app available at no cost or very low cost. Each time iOS is updated, a developer needs to go through a process to update the app and have it re-released, and that obviously costs developer time and money, and we don't have funding to continue to pay our developer. So our hope is to have it out, I would love to say, in the next 6 to 9 months, and folks are welcome to contact me. I believe you'll be putting my name and our website and my email address in the notes that accompany this podcast.
We'll definitely put those in the show notes. So for those of us who are really wanting to get into this graphics literacy now and we don't have access to your great app, are there other things that teachers and other people can do to support the development of graphic or make it to help students become more graphically literate?
So what can you do wherever you are in Australia or another country? One of the most important things is to help your student develop a systematic approach. What we've seen with the students who are very successful in our pre and our post test is that they approach each graphic the same. Most of the time, they look for a title, they look for a key. They make sure that they go across the whole page because, for example, on our map, the key is in two columns. And so if I just see the word key, and then I don't see that it's in two columns following that in a transcriber note, then I miss that there's other symbols that I need to look at. Mm-hmm. We see students doing a hand scan where they're going across the page, either from top to bottom or left to right. Again, this could be a visual scan as well. If students recognize it's a line graph or a bar graph, they're looking for the X and the Y axis. If they recognize that it's a coordinate plane, they're looking for the origin and they're looking for the X and the Y labels. If they recognize it's a map, they're being systematic about, okay, where are my cities? Where are, my train stations or my rivers or whatever it is that key is telling me. So that's one important thing, is to help your student develop a systematic pattern. In our 10 instructional units in the app, we ask the students to describe data. So what do you think is going to happen to the Tasmanian devil population in this park now that they've added road signs? So asking your students not just closed-ended questions, as in how many Tasmanian devils are in Sydney, versus what do you think, based on looking at how many Tasmanian devils are in Sydney and Perth, what do you think is going to happen over the next 5 years? What is the trend telling you? So those are ways you can start to get your student involved. Another important thing is to help your students start to make their own graphs and maps, because if I'm always just looking at stuff that other people created and I don't have the opportunity to create things myself, it doesn't help me start to put all the pieces together. And then I think it's important too that we let students go out and gather data so that they, and to think about how are you going to represent that. One of the students in our study, the teacher as a follow-up activity, had the student go ask classmates what flavor of ice cream that they liked. And so, you know, chocolate, vanilla, you know, peanut butter, whatever the
child. The only time it would peanut butter be one of the ice cream flavors. I love it.
Of course. But then they graphed that data in three different ways. So he made a circle graph with the findings. He made a line graph with the findings, and he made a bar chart. And so by getting to experiment with different ways to see the data in more than one format can help kids start to fill in some of those pieces.
Fantastic. You've given us lots of information in this session, Penny. Both, we're looking forward to seeing how the app goes and whether we can access it here, and good luck with the final research evaluation and analysis. So we look forward to that as well. But is there a way that people can contact you to get more information, Penny? Or obviously we'll make some links available in the show notes, but do you want to just talk through a contact detail now for us?
Absolutely. So we have a website that I will continue to update on our project. And so it's http://, and then these letters, and I'll go ahead and read it, and then I'll go back and pronounce AWVIBGL. So Animal Watch VI Building Graphics Literacy, AWVIBGL.COE, Charles Oscar Edward, .Arizona, ARIZONA, .EDU, like the first three letters of education. Fantastic. And my personal email address at the University of Arizona is like my last name. It's Rosenblue, so Rosenblu, at email.arizona.edu. So it drops the M in Rosenblum, Trudy. Rosenblu.
All right. Penny, this has been so much information, and I'm sure that people will follow up. And we are looking forward to hosting you as part of our conversation at the BizCon conference in June. So we're looking forward to learning more from you there. Potentially we can encourage you to do another webinar, a podcast with us as well. But thank you so much for your time right now.
Thank you. And it's wonderful to get to share our research across the pond. Thank you.
Thank you.
A huge thank you to Penny for taking the time to talk to us today all the way from the US. For more information about our program and the RIDBC Renick Centre, be sure to visit our website, shortcourses.ridbc.org.au.